Welcome to this podcast series on The Game Changers, from radical idea to innovative business. Are you wondering how deep tech startups move out of the lab and successfully to market? This series may help to address some of your questions. I am your host, Aoife Mangan, and in this series, I interview technology experts from fascinating industries, including space, energy, health, and quantum. In each episode, we will meet with the European Innovation Council, also known as the EIC, program manager, and listen to their experiences scaling up European deep tech. In case you haven't heard of the EIC, it's Europe's flagship innovation program supporting university-based tech projects and game-changing tech companies or startups. Today, we are talking about exciting innovations in cell and gene therapy, also known as CGT. Smart Immune is a company developing ProTCell, a pioneering T-cell therapy that rapidly rearms the immune system to fight cancers and infections. Smart Immune receives the maximum amount of financing possible from the EIC, which demonstrates both its potential and its significance for advancing cancer therapy solutions. Here with us today to discuss the significance of this new technology are two panelists, Yordanis Arzimanoglou, EIC Program Manager for Health and Biotech, and Karine Rossignol, Co-Founder and CEO at Smart Immune. Welcome to you both, and thank you both for being here. So let's start with Yordanis, perhaps. Yordanis, perhaps you can give us a little bit of an introduction into the importance of cell and gene therapy in the fight against cancer and genetic diseases.
Thank you, Aoife, and good morning for the opportunity to share views and to share what's happening in this revolutionary, really revolutionary field, cell and gene therapy. What is so important to mark and highlight from the very beginning is that with a cell and gene therapy, we have the possibility to reach cure and not only treatment. This is what makes the difference. But as usual, it comes with lots of challenges in order to go all the way and really develop the efficient and effective therapeutics that we are currently missing for different unmet medical needs. Just to give you an example, there are currently over 1,500 clinical trials underway. And so far, we had only a handful of successes in terms of developing product. Very few. But it seems that something is changing. Between 2017 and 2022, we had five approvals of new drugs, cell and gene therapy-based new drugs. And only in 2023 so far, we had another five. So even if the number is very small, I mean, 20 to 30 compared to over 1,500, something is changing. And this is the what makes us more optimistic, but at the same time, it tells us that we have lots of issues, lots of hurdles and challenges to overcome and tackle on the way to produce those therapeutics so much in need. Another important thing is for people to understand the importance of the field is the deals that are happening at earlier and earlier stages. I can give two quick examples. A big pharma like Astellas with a promising biotech, they just signed a deal of $50 million in order to improve CAR T cell therapies, which is in the area of cell therapies. We have today Karen Rossignol, the CEO of a very promising company that we have funded. And all the group of all those companies needs to be supported. So pharma also understands, like us, that we need to support, and that was an example of $50 million, which, by the way, exceeds the funding of one call of EIC. So public sector and private sector, they're going together, and they don't want to miss this major trend. Another example is I'd like to take it from the foundation side of view, the foundational perspective. We're talking about the biggest foundation, I believe, not only in Europe, I think globally, the Novo Nordisk Foundation. They invested, I think, around $140 million in a new cell therapy unit exactly because they recognize the importance of tackling issues that have to do with manufacturing of new cell therapy products. And this is a clear indication of, if not a proof, of the importance to really bridge the gap. It's a critical gap between discoveries, breakthrough discoveries, and therapies. So I think I wouldn't be wrong if I said that here at EIC, we recognized some of these needs, some of these challenges quite early on, compared to the 2-3 developments I just mentioned happened the last year. And we have issued this goal of 30 plus million in cell therapy and gene therapy at the end of 2021.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jordanos. It's a very exciting area indeed. And can you tell us a little bit more about the importance of EU support for research in the area of cell and gene therapy, and not just funding, because we all know that that's very useful and necessary, but also other types of support that comes from being part of the EIC?
Thank you for the question, Efe, because this is it's quite an important question. Usually not asked, you don't usually see such questions or remarks on the different press releases or, you know, information that gets to the public. Funding is one thing, and the non-funding support, as you said, is another thing. Here is the following, that the different private organizations, of course, they only care to select a promising company and fund the company waiting for, you know, their exit strategies to make money. But what about the sector, and what about really helping companies to address big issues for which the products are delayed the market, and you cannot support the economies that are based, in this case, the gene therapy-based products and all the economy that is developing around that. So who could do that? Definitely not the private sector, unless they are very bold or they have they are very visionary. Public sector is one that steps in this case, EIC, but also other organizations, and they want to support. They understand they need to support not just one company, but a group of companies on the basis of the shared component. In the cell and gene therapy, for instance, the idea is to support challenges that are being faced by a group, a set of different projects, companies. And by doing that, you support the entire sector. And that, you know, will reflect later on in really contributing to what we call strategic autonomy in Europe, for instance, in Europe, but there are people doing that in America as well, in a specific area, again, cell and gene therapy in this case. To give you another example from the other side of the Atlantic, in the area that we are having portfolios here at EIC, cell therapy, and you have one representative that will talk to you, Karen, later on, the FDA issued some guidance regarding challenges 1 month ago. So I think we are positioned well. I think the understanding is that we need to face commonly challenges if not the entire sector, but different niches, you know, different subsets of the sector in order to move the field forward. Another thing very important, and I'd like to end with that, is that here at EIC, most of the things that we do are based on strategic intelligence. Strategic intelligence in the real sense of the word, meaning we have the ability, we have internal capabilities to follow the trends, to understand what's happening, and help our companies. We also have extensive list of what we call business acceleration services that can be offered to our companies. All that is under the umbrella of the non-funding support. So I'd like to emphasize again, the strategic intelligence is a component that we have it in-house. And I'd like to close by saying, we are writing, of course, different reports and all that. And we have predicted, for instance, yesterday we had the Nobel Prize of medicine that was given in the two mRNA pioneers. That happened yesterday. That was announced yesterday. EIC has already issued a call on mRNA and other types of RNAs 1 year ago. And we have already, you know, in putting our reports, the importance of the field and the mRNA cancer vaccines and all that. So I think all that is in the same context to say how important for us is the strategic intelligence that we do have and we're continue developing in-house.
Very clear. Many thanks, Jordanos. And it's great to hear about all this extra kinds of support that we get, because you're right, we do talk a lot about money and financing, but there's a lot more to supporting our startups and research projects than just money, of course. And now let's turn to Karine, who, as we already mentioned, is co-founder and CEO at Smart Immune. Welcome to you, Karine. Karine, could you explain in simple terms the kind of technology your company has created?
Thank you, Efe. Thank you for inviting me to take part. It's great to be here to talk about how we are helping patients to rearm their immune systems. Fully functional immune system is the most powerful weapons against cancers and infections. And T cells are the fighting force among our immune cells. They get their name from the thymus, you know, this organ in our body, which selects and trains these cells to kill all tumor cells and pathogens. And immunocompromised patients are in urgent need of a working set of T cells. Donor stem cell transplant can today provide this in 18 months, but patients remain at risk during this time. And speed matters for patients. So our technology, ProTCell, takes healthy donor cells and transforms them into T-cell progenitors, the early form of T-cell, in just 3 months. And for the first time, our T-cell progenitors can be tested in clinical trials. It's the first in human. Once infused to the patient, they migrate to the thymus, where they are educated to become mature T-cell and release into the bloodstream as a fully armed T-cell fighting force.
Wow, that's fantastic, Karine. So really, really life-changing technology for many. And can you tell us a little bit on your support that you get from the EIC and also a little bit about the portfolio approach of the EIC? Has this helped your company in any way? Have you taken part and synergized with any other projects that are also supported by the EIC?
Of course. The challenge to unlock allogeneic T-cell therapy is the most important one for the field, and it's huge. Jordanist mentioned it. And there is no way it can be solved by only one player, as good as it can be, and at Smart Immune, we bring one new piece to this jigsaw, and the capacity to harness the thymus of the patient to provide self-tolerant and long-lasting T-cell progenitor can be a game changer. But we won't do that alone. It could be significantly enabled to other key important technology therapy like CAR-T, and Jordanis mentioned a CAR-T company just a few minutes ago. We'd be very happy to partner with them, because being part of the companies selected by the EIC is first, obviously, a great honor, but it helps also to validate the science, and even more importantly, it's a way to access an incredible ecosystem gathering the best European biotech with complementary approaches. We have not been chosen by our sort. It has been fully fought to build synergy and altogether being in a capacity to unleash the capacity of those innovative cell and gene therapy, not only for a few number of patients, but for all of them.
Thanks, Karine. And it's great to see that you're so positive about the support you receive from the program. Is there any other type of support that you would like to see more of, or that your company could benefit from?
That's a great question. And yes, more financial will definitely help, of course, and that's the same for all of us, because financing gives speed. And as you know, time is the essence, is not only for the patient, but also for our investors. We have an outstanding research in Europe. And yet, we still struggle to raise sufficient funds to keep our scientific advance moving. European and French tech are at the edge of innovation in cell and gene therapy, and infrastructures are being now implemented to enable production and economic value creation locally. We are on the way. And what would I like more than that? The cherry on the cake would be to find ways to shorten and simplify access to regulatory authorities such as EMA and payers. This would significantly ease and accelerate the path to successful registration. And I think that the time for filing instruction is still too long and too slow, but maybe also because we don't really manage all the guidelines to really ease those interactions. So I know that the EIC has set some regulatory meeting with the relevant people at EMA, and it's going to be a great help, because it's true that 3 to 6 months compared to what is now in the US is still too long. So we need to find altogether a way to accelerate this.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Karine. Hopefully we can make progress in this area. And one last question for you. How does it feel to be a female CEO in this sector? Have you had any challenges? And do you have any inspirational words for young women in the industry?
Sometimes it feels a bit strange to be pitching before an assembly of men, but you don't have a choice, so you get used to it very quickly. But I'm really convinced that we need diversity and gender balance. It has been demonstrated that gender balance teams usually overperform. And diversity is at the heart of creativity and efficacy. And I want to see more women in the biotech, not just in academia, but also in our companies. And I don't mean at the bench, but also in C-level position. And we need to encourage innovative young women to dare to take the plunge and lean in.
Fantastic. Very inspiring indeed. Thank you very much, Karim. And perhaps a final word from Jordanas. Jordanas, what can we expect from the EIC portfolio in cell and gene therapy in the coming months?
We can expect that this portfolio, the EIC portfolio model, works. And that is our goal. We have made that in our priority and our goal. And this is working right now. We selected projects and companies at the Pathfinder level. We are gathering together companies from across, you know, the three instruments of EIC together in different events, like we have an event with EMA organized tomorrow. Karen Rossignol's company will participate, and others from all instruments, in order to listen from specialists, people who have specific knowledge and experience of the regulatory framework in cell and gene therapy in Europe. And the goal is to exercise, to apply what we call proactive portfolio management. So this is what is going to happen for the next 2 years. And we are confident that not only we're creating a portfolio model, the EIC portfolio model that others may want to study or may want to really follow in the future. It's happening for the first time. But it's the significance of that, and it's all the different KPIs we apply to in order to demonstrate. We need to be able to demonstrate that what we are doing has an impact, and what we are doing is appreciated at the individual portfolio company level. And that is not for us to say, but for them to say. Having said that, we have a milestone event on October 27th, and you're giving this opportunity to say it all from here. It's a targeted event to cell and gene therapy, of course, but people can join and listen to two of the leaders of the field, global leaders, clinical physician scientists, known, as I said, widely recognized. So they're going to speak about in vivo solutions in the clinic for our projects to be informed, and they're going to be there to answer questions. And this is in the context of your question, what should we expect? We're going to expect more and more strategic intelligence, more and more support to our projects across instruments, answering difficult questions, helping them to make partnerships, informing them about what is happening, what are the trends, and all that. This is quite important, I believe, and this is exactly our goal for the future. We call it portfolio management, and we are very, very pleased that the EIC portfolio scheme is, you know, slightly recognized and understood by the others that something is happening, something is working here.
So a lot to look forward to in the area. Thank you very much, Jordanas. This is all we have time for today, folks. So a big thank you to both of our panelists, Karim and Jordanas, for their time. And indeed, their efforts in developing these fantastic technologies that could be an answer to some of our most pressing health research challenges. And of course, thank you to all you listeners out there. This brings us to the end of our podcast, part of the series, The Game Changers, From Radical Idea to Innovative Business. Until next time.